today on Real Radio.
Have you ever been disappointed with doors being shut in ministry or in an opportunity and you're thinking, well, I thought God was with me? Well, I think Paul was very effective because even though doors were shut, Paul had the gospel of the living God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their passion, of course, was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this included Timothy and Lydia, of course, a woman who was led by God to open her heart to things spoken by the Apostle Paul. In the message called Following the Leader from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 10, we learn to follow God's lead according to His Word, the Bible, and when He speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit. A true follower of Jesus Christ also needs to let go of the past, to be present in the things of the Lord, and to have a hope for the future. Now in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 19, we'll see how we're signed, sealed, and delivered so we can in turn share our faith with others. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to deliver the good news of the gospel. God will often do it in the most unusual ways. Paul's view of women was based on Jewish law, but his view was radically changed when he met Lydia, who was not born a Jew but worshipped God, even though she was a wealthy self-made woman. And now in his lesson called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts chapter 16 this morning, and we'll cover verses 11 to 19. And we are right there in the middle of God doing something awesome with Paul and his group. We were studying last time that Paul was following the leading of the Lord, and he's going along doing God's work. He's heading north, and he gets into the area of Asia. And we studied last time how God shut the door. And it was kind of odd because God had declared not only to Paul, but to us, that we need to be out there to spread the gospel to every creature around the world. And so Paul, a man, by the way, I need to stress, Paul is a yes man. Do you understand that? He is a yes man. Not the kind of guy that you might think that might be in a boardroom or a corporate setting or whatever, or somebody who's been beaten into subjection by authoritarianism. Paul is a yes man to God. God says something, Paul says, yes, sir. A week or so ago, we were at the pastor's conference at Costa Mesa and went up to ask Romaine a question. And I said, Romaine, he said, shut up. I said, yes, sir. He said, while you're at it with those yes, sirs, go up there and load up all those chairs and take them to the fellowship hall. I said, yes, sir. And I never got to him about my question. I've learned by growing up there spiritually, you just do what he says. It's better for you that way. And Paul was that way to God. When God said something, Paul said, yes, sir. Dropped his question and took off and did what was commanded of him. And so Paul was out to share the good news of Jesus, and he was on his way when every door seemed to be shutting. Going up into the area heading towards the Black Sea and southern Russia, the door shuts. Then he heads a little bit northwest to see if God maybe was leading them into Bithynia, and the door shuts. So Paul was backed, literally, with his back against the Aegean Sea, having nowhere to go, and there in a night vision, he receives from the Lord an appearance where there's a man, or what is appearing to be a man, probably an angel, quite honestly with you, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And that was the area of Europe. And so Paul catches the ship and goes over, and they are there in the region. And this is where we pick up on our study right now. And the title of the message is this morning, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And the meaning is being able to share or being ready to share the gospel. Have you ever been disappointed with doors being shut in ministry or in an opportunity and you're thinking, well, I thought God was with me? Well, I think Paul was very effective because even though doors were shut, Paul had the gospel of the living God. And when I say signed, sealed, and delivered, I mean in this text or in this tense. That sign, the Bible declares, as we've studied in Hebrews on Wednesday night, that the entire Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. In fact, starting next Sunday, we'll get into the six-week series on prophecy, and that's one of the things that we're going to cover. That the Bible is not an accident, that the Bible is absolutely authoritative, and it speaks of the existence of Jesus Christ even before He came as a baby. It speaks of His eternal existence as God the Creator. Signed. The Bible contains and is, in fact, all of the revelation of God concerning man and Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The Bible is the Word of God. Then sealed. That would mean in our title this morning that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He sealed or He guaranteed our redemption once and for all. When Christ rose from the dead, it empowered us to share this good news. Because when He rose from the dead, Jesus told us in John's Gospel, I'm going to go away. And if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and He will teach you all things, and by the way, He'll be your power. And we've seen in the introduction of the book of Acts that in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit is in fact our power to share the good news. And then delivered, that's our job. We are to deliver the Word of God wherever we're at. And I don't care this morning, I mean that with the greatest affection, I don't care if you are a housewife, if you are a rocket scientist, I don't care where you are or what you do, your job is to deliver the gospel. If it's to your children, if it's to your neighbors, if it's to the corporate people around you, you are to be delivering the gospel, and you can do it because it's signed and it's sealed, and you'll have that power. I've told you this story before, but I need to say it again. I'll never forget. Lisa and I were just talking about this the other day, so I threw it in here. We were going down the 91 freeway heading east. And if you've been down the 91 heading east in Orange County, and you're going to get on the 57 north, you take that connector. And guys, you know which one it is. It's a really neat high-speed turn, somewhere around 90 to 100. You know you can take this turn. But you're also about 90 to 100 feet above the ground, if you are aware of that point. You're way up there. And I'll never forget, we're bringing home Rebecca from the doctor. She was just about a year and a half old, and she looks out the window in her, out of her car seat, and she goes, oh, so this is how big the world is. Because it was a clear day, and you could see all the way to Fullerton or Riverside or something, and this is how big the world is, and we started cracking up. To a lot of Christians, the world is only as far as our nose leads us. Oh, look, oh, wow. Listen, the world is so big. From our perspective, it might seem pretty small because our exposure is small. But to God's perspective, He holds, the Bible says, the universe in the span of His hand. And in the confines of that universe, He desires His gospel to be delivered. That's our job. So if your world, if my world seems a little small, you know what? Get out past your nose and pray that God would use you to deliver His message. That's what Paul's doing. He's spreading it around the world. And that's very important to us. The Bible says in Isaiah 52, verse 7, concerning us, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. That's the word gospel. Who proclaim peace and who bring glad tidings of good things and who proclaim salvation. So that's our job. In Acts chapter 16, verse 11, Luke tells us there, as he's the author of the book, he says, therefore, or because of all the above, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, it's a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she had her household baptized, She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she constrained us. Now, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And so this morning, in your notes, jot down, we're going to look at the first point, and that is God's unorthodox ways. And it makes sense in a moment. God deals in unorthodox ways. Have you ever noticed that in your life? You think God's going to do something in your life, and I think I know how he's going to do it, and he does something totally awesome, totally different. Just when you think you got God figured out, he makes a left turn. And he does things so unorthodox, so to speak. I praise God that he is not limited by some standard or some rule book that he's got to keep in how he can do this. He can't do this. He can't do the other. What God does is always in compliance with his word. They're one and the same, so to speak. But God is sovereign, and God does things the way he chooses. The Bible tells us that in the earth, God does a strange work that no man can discern. Isn't that interesting? So in verses 11 to 15, we're going to see something that is rather strange. And ladies, I want you to keep your antenna up. You may not see it right now, but you're going to see it in a moment. And you're going to be very grateful for Christianity. I'll tell you that right now. But God desires us to share. As we jump into verse 11, look back up at verse 9, and this is what's happening. A vision appeared to Paul at night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with them, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, and for Paul, we're talking now, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, or because of what we just said, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi. By the way, Luke loved Philippi. Listen to what he says about it. Which is the most foremost city of that part of Macedonia. It was a beautiful place. It's a colony. That means it's a Roman plant. It was a Rome away from Rome. Roman citizens were there. And this is kind of interesting. If you were a Roman citizen there in Italy, when Rome conquered an area, and if they conquered a city that was of importance to them, if you were a Roman veteran of war or of the military, they had you move there. They paid your expenses. They caused you to be exempt from Roman taxes. They lavished you with benefits just so that that city would have a Roman presence that was sensitive to Rome. And so it became a Rome away from Rome. And this area was known for that. And they had Roman roads. In fact, if you visit that area today, you'll still see the Roman roads that were built by the Roman government. A beautiful place. This Philippi, originally named by Philip of Macedon, we covered that last time. And in that city, as a Roman citizen, you had all the benefits and all of the privileges of Rome. And by the way, from the church that's going to start right here in Lydia's house in a moment, Paul will later write an epistle called the Philippians, or to the Philippians. And in that epistle, he's going to argue something like this. For our citizenship, Philippians 3:20, says that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person in Philippi recognized exactly what Paul was meaning. Paul was meaning that you Philippians, our citizenship's in heaven. They went, oh, that's so cool, because our citizenship is in Rome, even though we live in Philippi. And to the Christian who was in Philippi, they said, hey man, even though we live in Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. We understand exactly what that means. We have all the benefits, all of the goodness that heaven has to offer right here on earth. The Bible says that we are, past tense, inheritors of God's heaven. We just need to show up there and form. And we're looking forward to that day. But in Philippi, as we go through this study, we won't cover all of this today. But in Philippi, Paul will win three types of people to Christ, three kinds of sinners. First of all, we'll see a religious sinner, one to Jesus in verses 11 to 15. We're going to see a slave girl today who's possessed, led to Christ in verses 16 to 18. And then the next time we get back together on this study, we'll see a hardened man, a jailer, a man who works for the prison system, converted to Jesus Christ. So this is a very important part of Scripture, and we do well to listen to it. So here we go. It says in verse 12 that they were staying there in that city for some days. And this cracks me up. In my Bible, I got a little note going up to verse 10. Paul says, immediately, let's go. Come on, come on. Have you ever been there? It's a hurry up and wait kind of thing. Hurry up! You get there, hurry up and wait. They do all of this traveling and they get to the place. And wouldn't you think that if God showed him a vision to go to this area, that there would be people standing on the shore with drums and a banner? Welcome, Paul, to the European continent to share the gospel. There was nobody there. And then once they get there, nothing's happening. It says for some days. Don't let that fool you. It's not just a couple of 3 days. It's probably what most scholars believe by the construction of the words is that's probably close to a month or two. And they're really not doing much. What would you be doing? I'd be going up the walls. I'd be thinking, maybe we made a mistake. Wouldn't you? I would. And it says here, and this is slick. It says that on the Sabbath day, we, that is Luke now, has joined the party. We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. How did they know to go to the riverside? First of all, there's no synagogue in Philippi. That means there was not 10 Jewish men in Philippi. So they couldn't have a synagogue. So the next thing, according to Jewish teaching, was to go to an area of water, either the seashore or a river, to go through their washing rites as Jews. And so Paul and the guys, the four of them, get up and they go down to the riverside and there's these people there gathered, or women specifically, gathered for prayer. Guys, did you hear that? You usually find more women at prayer meetings, sad to say. We think we're too busy to attend prayer meetings, I think, most of the time. But there are these women gathered there for prayer. And they are praying, and it's a custom that they do that. And it says that they sat down, verse 13, and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Now this is fantastic. The Hebrew rabbis taught this. Listen carefully. I say they taught this. I don't teach this. Neither does Calvary Chapel. Quote, "It is better to burn the law of God with fire than to deliver it to a woman," is what they said. Well, I find that highly offensive, you might say. Well, you probably should. Paul the Apostle, was he not a rabbi? He was a rabbi. Paul seen women praying. You want to see what God's done in this man's heart? He's on a foreign mission field. There's some women over there by the riverside. Hey, come on, guys, let's go talk to them. This guy is absolutely changed of heart. He was taught, I'd rather burn the Bible than speak it to a woman. That's what they were taught. Gals, Christianity is your best friend if you haven't recognized it yet. You can go to every culture in the world, and where Christianity is at, women are exalted and women are treated with equality. Help me if I get hostile on this next one. The world has no right out there, outside those walls, to say, honey, submit to me, baby. I'm the macho man of the house. The world has no right to even put that claim on somebody's life. You know what context declares that right? Christianity. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21 that both of us, husband and wife, are to be submitted to God. And when that is the context, then this thing about submission is no longer an issue. Wives don't have to nudge their husbands, and husbands don't have to drag that verse out and say, submit. Oh no. When two people are loving God in Christ Jesus, you never have to bring the word up because it's happening in your heart. And I tell you what, when the man When his heart is submitted to Jesus Christ, you'll never hear about submission in your own home because a woman will recognize that. And she'll follow because this man is under the orders of Jesus Christ. I think that's very important. Paul's heart has radically changed. And he goes to these women, and that's the way it ought to be in the world. And again, where Christianity is not, you will find women in slave markets, and you will find women treated as dogs. And that's true in the Middle East today, where Christianity is not held to. It's tragic. If you don't know that, then you need to read about it and be thankful and give God glory. Christianity is our deliverer, Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Following the Leader. Thanks for listening, and like Paul, don't give Satan the opportunity to stop you in your tracks. Just keep going and keep following after Christ. Following the Leader is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I understand you've got something real important to communicate to our listeners.
I do, Davey, and it is very, very important for sure. This is a special announcement to all of our Real Radio listeners, but specifically those of us living in California. And here's the reason why. This coming November is an election in California that is unlike any other election in our state history because there's so much up before the voter regarding biblical issues. And the number one issue is pro-life. The opportunity to vote for governor, for assembly, for our state senators, it's all about pro-life. And so here's my prayerful request to all of you in California and for those of you who know someone in California. And that is, will you please vote this November 6th? It's very simple. Believe me, it's very simple. You can go to electionforum.org, electionforum.org, and you can look in the state of California, exactly where you live, on how you can vote a biblical worldview vote from the Word of God. You'll see the candidates, where they stand, and then you get to make an educated vote to honor God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, that when the righteous are in power, people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. So listen, I'm asking you, and I'm praying for you, that you would vote in California, November 6th, and stand up for Jesus. Stand up for pro-life. Make your voice be heard by voting this November. I'm going to be voting. And by God's grace, not only could we have a revival in California, but we could also have righteousness again in California. So please vote November 6th.
So, Pastor Jack, what would you say to our listeners that don't live in California?
I'm asking all of you that do not live in California to certainly get a hold of somebody that you do know in California. It seems like everyone knows someone that lives in California.
Okay, so don't forget to check out electionforum.org to find out how you can vote a biblical worldview this election season. You know, the Apostle Paul was a yes man when it came to following Christ. Paul's worldview came from the Lord, and his mission was to spread the gospel. He did this by engaging the culture of wherever he was towards not just the Old Testament, but the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's why Pastor Jack has a new series of videos on YouTube. It's called Engage the Culture. It's designed to bring God's word into what's happening in our lives today. Important issues that confront us on a daily basis are discussed in Engage the Culture, including what does the Bible say about border control, and what does the Bible say about abortion, and many other cultural issues facing us today. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That way, you'll not only have access to Engage the Culture, but over 500 videos on various topics, including Happening Now from Pastor Jack's live Facebook series. And remember, you can always hit the notification button for Pastor Jack's latest videos. Again, the video series is called Engage the Culture, and it's available on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.